They were in an upper chamber. They were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, as the Lord said he would send. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Yes, this old-time power was given to our fathers. And they were in an
search for answers in this ever-changing world. Solutions to the problems that you face. I am here to tell you, you won't find the answer there, 'cause they're only found in God's amazing grace.
Oh, the cross still cleanses hearts of sin, it still delivers fallen men, it has never lost its power to save. Oh, the blood has never saved.
Critics don't believe that the blood of Jesus saves. They say there's nothing to the word.
Let's worship. Come on, church. Let's magnify the Lord. Amen. Let's love Him. Let's honor Him. Hallelujah. Give Him praise and glory. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. We honor You. We praise You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We're saved, redeemed, washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why don't we just put our hands together and give the Lord a good offering of praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name. Thank You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. We glorify You. We magnify You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Step across the aisle. Turn back to your neighbor. Tell him it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. Amen. Take a couple minutes and just welcome him into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Appreciate God's mercy to us. Amen. Appreciate the wonderful presence of the Lord. Amen. If you're glad to be saved today, say amen. Amen. If you can do better than that, say praise the Lord. Amen. God's good to us. We enter His gates today with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you being in God's house today. Deacons, help me if you would. We're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. And we just come to give Him praise and glory today. One way we do that is through our tithes, our offerings to the Lord. Amen. Let's give with a joyful heart today. Amen. A heart of gratitude. Amen. Thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Brother Jeremy Miles, lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please. Amen. God bless you as you give. Just a couple of announcements to remind you of, and then Sister Robin, if you'll sing for us this morning. The upcoming picnic, remember that, November the 4th. And if you get signed up for the ice cream or pie making contest, whatever they've got going on, the information's on the bulletin board. You could also sign up online if you want to do that at the church website. Remember that. And then also the church t-shirts that have been in the lobby for the last couple of weeks. If you're going to do that, today is the cutoff for that. All right, so if you're wanting to get a church t-shirt, make sure you get that ordered today. If you have any questions, see Sister Shayla Aslan, and the Lord being my helper, I'll always get that last name right. So that's tough after you change after 20 years one way, so got it right today. All right, so if you have any questions, see Sister Shayla, and I appreciate her taking care of that. Let's worship the Lord today.
Think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me out, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout.
Before we preach this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we want to remember Sister Marcia. Continue to pray for her. The Lord would help her, and just come to her with strength and healing in her body. Maybe someone else got a prayer request this morning as the church binds together any urgent requests. Sister Wilder. All right, Brother Brian. Brother Brian Miles, remember him. Have it in the middle section, Brother John. All right, remember this request, Brother Gene. All right, let's remember Sister Cassie, if you would. All right, Sister Schreider, Sister Pam. All right, Sister Elizabeth. All right, remember this. All right, remember Sister Charlotte, Brother Kennedy wants to be prayed for. Remember him as well. Amen. Any others? Amen. Well, let's bind together as the church and let's believe the Lord right now for these needs. Father, we come to you right now. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the day you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your power in our lives. Lord, we lift up these needs in prayer. We ask you, Lord, to touch Sister Marcia. God, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen and help her. Lord God, in spirit and soul as well as body. We ask you, Lord, the other requests, those that need healing, those that need strength, those that need deliverance, let it be granted today in the house of the Lord. We've come to give you praise and glory and honor. We've come to magnify and glorify your name. We just honor you, Lord. We love you for the opportunity that we have to feel your presence today, to worship you, to magnify and glorify your name. Be with us, O Lord. God, we pray your grace, your power, your spirit just be poured out mightily in this service. Meet us in this altar. Let the will of God be done. Let the will of God be accomplished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. 1 Kings, chapter number 19. Amen. Starting at verse number 19. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter number 19, starting at verse number 19, reading down to the end of the chapter. Amen. We're working through familiar territory today, but I want to preach to you about the Master's mantle. Amen. The mantle of the Master. 1 Kings chapter number 19 and 19, if you have it, say amen. Amen. If we need to hold up, we will. Amen. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1st. Got it? All right. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're seated today in the presence of the Lord. I love reading about Elijah and Elisha. I love reading about their individual biographies, their stories in and of themselves. But I certainly enjoy reading about the interaction between these two prophets and how their lives intersect, and how Elisha is so influenced by Elijah and then carries on the work of the Lord. In your reading today, we have focused upon the interaction between Elijah and Elisha, this inaugural event that transitions the life of Elisha just from working on the farm and inheriting the family business to becoming that young prophet that will find his mentor in Elijah. You know, one thing we understand is this is a story about influence. It is a story about influence. It is Elijah's influence upon Elisha. And when we know anything about life is, the older that we get, the more that we have influence, number one. And number two, the more we realize we want to use it for good and not bad. If you're an older person and you don't have any influence, then you've probably lived a foolish life. But if you've lived any years at all, you understand your influence grows with your years. The older you are, the more influence you have. Now, young folks don't care a whole lot about influence yet. They're still trying to get, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. That's all they want. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But older folks realize that we've got something to give. We've got something to invest. We want to use our influence for the benefit of the next generation. And that's what this story is about. It's a story about influence. The older prophet looking for that heart of the young prophet that is in tune with the Spirit of God. When he meets Elisha, Elijah realizes really he's been going around in circles his entire life. Notice that he's still on the farm. He started out on the farm and he's still on the farm. And there's nothing wrong with that, except if that's not your destiny, that is not where you're supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with inheriting the family business unless God wants you to be a prophet and not a farmer. And if God wants you to be a prophet, then you've got to leave everything behind. And so this story, Elijah passes by and he influences the next generation. And I would to God that you and I, in the hour that we're living in, there's an importance. There is a growing importance for men of integrity. There is a growing importance for men of stature and men of influence, that men that know how to use their influence for the next generation to follow after them. We live in a world full of fakes and hypocrites and people that just fire off at any whim and say anything they want without any disregard of consequences. But thank God for men of influence. Thank God for men of integrity, that when they say something, it matters. That when they say something, people sit up and try to listen and take notice, because they've lived their life in an exemplary manner. They've lived their life in such a way that people want to follow in their footsteps. How many of you today that have lived a few decades on this earth and are now worried about who's coming behind you? And you're worried about who's coming behind you, and you want to lead them in the right path. That you don't want to lead them astray. Every husband, every father, every grandfather in this building today, every great-grandfather ought to be worried about their legacy. They ought to be worried about what they're leaving behind. That if they're leaving footsteps, that because your younger generation is following in your footsteps, whether you want to admit it, whether you want to agree with it, whether you like it or not, they are following in your footsteps. God, help us to be men of integrity. God, help us to set such an example that when we pass by this younger generation, that when we pass by them, our influence is so mesmerizing, our influence is so captivating, that what they have a hold of, they're willing to drop and say, I want to be like that man of God. I want the Spirit of God like Elijah has. I want the Spirit of God like that generation. Thank God for those that have been through the brush harbor. Thank God for those that have experienced revival in our generation. Amen. But I'm interested in those that are coming on. I'm interested in what will the church look like in 5 years and 10 years and 25 and 50 years, Jesus tarrying his coming. Amen. I want to know that this next generation, they've got the fire of God in their heart just like we do, that they've got a grip of the Word of God just like we do, that their convictions are the same just like ours are. I don't want it to water down with the next generation. Amen. I don't want to lose the things of God, the power of God, and the fire of God. Amen. I want to use my influence, whatever that I have, however many years I've got left, not just to get, amen, but to give. I'm interested in inspiring this next generation to tell you that you're not serving a dead God. You're not serving a God that was only moving in the 20s and the 50s and the 80s. Amen, but this is your day. This is your hour. This is your time. That if you'll get a hold of the Spirit of God, and you'll get a hold of the power of God, and you'll pray through the convictions of yourself, yourself. Amen. The same stories that you've read about, the same stories that you've heard testified about, you can experience for yourself. You don't have to have some kind of a history lesson, but you can stand and say, let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you, I got saved. Let me tell you, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God help this generation of elders to influence the next generation that's coming on. That's why, friend, if you've got some influence, you've got to use it for the good of the next generation. You've got to use it, amen, to influence them for the things of God. Amen. You say, I don't have much strength left, or I don't have much time left, or I don't have any talents. I'm going to tell you, just coming to the house of the Lord and just worshiping God, you don't even have to say anything, but that is a stamp, amen, that is a shout of acclamation that I'm still on God's side, and God is not dead, but God's still alive in my heart. God, help us to influence this next generation. Amen. You got to realize we didn't get here where we are by ourselves, but somebody influenced us. Amen. Somebody took time to teach you a Sunday school lesson. Somebody took time to help you learn that instrument. Somebody took time to share the Bible stories with you. So Elijah passes by Elisha and he influences him. He influences him for the good of God and for what God's going to do in his life. But can I tell you, friend, a lot of times we want to hang around with what we're familiar with. A lot of times the reason we don't grow is because we're always wanting the approval of somebody in our past. But I want you to look at this story today. It is pivotal, it's inspirational, it's transforming in the life of Elisha, because everything he has known, he's getting ready to turn loose of. Everything he's familiar with, the Bible said that he's plowing with the 12 oxen, he had the 12. He is going to inherit the farm. He's a wealthy, wealthy man. Even his name, Elisha, means Jehovah is salvation. So he comes from a spiritual family. He's not from a heathen family. He's from a good family. And a lot of folks say, well, that's good enough now. Don't get too carried away in serving God now. Now, you got to have a career. You've got to make some money now. Come on, you've got to have some. Now, you got to enjoy life a little bit. I hear a lot of that. But in this story, what everything Elisha has a hold of, he's getting ready to turn loose of. And for you to turn loose of it, you've got to turn loose of what you're comfortable with. You've got to turn loose of what you're familiar with. And the devil will try to keep you tied to your past. He'll try to keep you locked to what you're comfortable with, what you're used to, what you're good at, what you're inheriting. He'll try to keep you locked to your past. That's why out of the blue somebody could say, I hadn't heard of them in a long time, and all of a sudden they text me out of the blue. Or I hadn't seen them or talked to them in a long time, and then out of the blue. It's not out of the blue. You know what it is? It's the devil trying to make sure he's keeping you tied to your past. They didn't just text you out of the blue. But it's that devil trying to keep you locked down to your past, trying to keep you living in the rear view mirror. This is a story today that God challenges us to say, do you want my best? 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 A lot of folks go to church, they're just there for the show. They're there just out of duty. They're there out of habit. They're comfortable. Granddaddy come to church there. Mama came to church there. I'm going to church there. That's the only reason they're going to that church. It has nothing to do with God is challenging them to move forward. It has nothing to do with their wanting to move into their destiny. It's just they're comfortable. They can talk about going to Sunday school there. They can talk about singing in the kiddie choir, the angel choir. They can sing about all the way. They can talk about the customs, the creeds of the church. They can talk about all the revivals. They're just comfortable there. But I really felt challenged to come this morning.
and try to find somebody, amen, through the power of God to answer that question. Wouldn't you like to have God's best? I said, would you like to have the best? Not just what's average, not just what you can get by with, not what you're comfortable with. There's folks that even get comfortable with worship. They just get comfortable in the house of God. They know when it's time to worship God. They know when it's time to clap. They know when it's time to stand. They know when it's time to give. But I come by this morning, I say, God, let that mantle of your spirit, let the mantle of your presence fall upon some of these young folks that say, God, I don't want what's average. I don't want what's ordinary. I don't want what everybody else is expecting. I want your best. I want your best. I want the best of God's God for me. My God, this morning when Elijah passed by, all he did was cast his mantle on him. He didn't say anything. He didn't call him. Amen. He didn't put a blessing on him. But there was something so mesmerizing about that anointed mantle. Elisha looked at the oxen and he looked at the farm and he said, hang on. This isn't good enough. I don't want all of this. I want that. I want the presence of God. Is there anybody in this building? Amen. In October of 2017, you'd say, God, I want your presence. I want your spirit. I want your power. I want your anointing. I want the best, not what's average, but I want your best. I want your destiny in my life. But we get comfortable. Bring that baby. We give our children to you, Lord. You, if you were in service a couple weeks ago, you know, I said sometimes that just becomes almost like a ceremony with no spiritual meaning. But you know where we get that? Hannah, when she prayed, notice what she asked for. Hannah prayed and asked for a man child. She did not ask for a baby. And there is something in the heart of a mother that wants to have children. I understand that. And ask God for a baby. But that's not what Hannah was praying for. Hannah was praying for a man child. She was praying for God to raise up Israel's next leader through her. And she said, God, if you'll give me that child, I'll give him back to you. Sometimes when God gives us stuff, we get comfortable with it, and we don't want to give it back to the Lord. We say we give them as babies, but when they get to be teenagers, I watch a lot of parents renege on that commitment. Because when we pray that prayer, Lord, whatever you want out of their life, we'll do. Lord, we'll raise them. Lord, we'll put you first. We'll put you first. But Lord, homework might slide in there above you a little bit. Lord, we'll put you first, but if school really becomes important, Lord, we're gonna lay out a midweek service just to make sure they get an A in that class. Lord, we'll put you first until. But when we say we give them to the Lord, whatever God wants out of their life, whatever God wants out of their life. Not that I think God's going to call him to Africa, but when he goes to Africa in December for 2 weeks, if that's what God says, this is where you're going to spend the rest of your life. I've already given him to the Lord. I've already given him to the Lord. You know, my dad don't cry much, but when we stood on that parking lot to say goodbye, I cried, my dad cried. Why? Because I was going to miss him. But there was something more, something greater than familiar bonds. There was something more than just the relationships in this earth. There was that call of God. There was that pursuit of God's presence. There was that desire to say, God, I want your destiny. I want your destiny in my life. And Elijah started leaving. And Elisha runs over to him and says, whoa, where are you going? I'm going to go back. I'm going to tell everybody goodbye. You see that distance. Notice Elijah moves off in the distance. Here's what I challenge you this morning. Your destiny, it's in that distance. If you don't do something quick, your destiny is moving. Elijah was his destiny. The oxen was not his destiny. Dying on that farm was not his destiny. It might have been mom and dad's expectations, but it was not what God wanted. And his destiny is moving off in the distance. And Elisha looked at the reins and he said, I gotta let it go. I would to God today, somebody, whatever's holding you back, whether it's fear, carnality, whatever's holding you back, money, career, fame and fortune, whatever's holding you back, worldly pressure, whatever's holding you back, family approval, whatever's holding you back, I say turn it loose, let it go, and say, God, I've got to have your power. I've got to have the power of your spirit. I'd rather feel what I feel right now. I'd rather have the joy of the Lord. Anybody glad for God? Anybody glad for the Spirit of the Lord? My God, this morning, quit going in circles and say, God, I'm ready to turn loose and grab hold of the things of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said that he went back. He kissed his mother, his father goodbye. He kissed everybody goodbye. And that lonely walk. You ever been in that between your destiny and what you said goodbye to? You tired of living up to people's expectations? Here's what they want out of your life. Oh, he needs to be a teacher. He needs to be an engineer. He needs to be a doctor. He needs to be whatever. Oh, being raised in a preacher's home, obviously. You going to be a preacher, Ryan? I didn't want to be a preacher. Brother Addison will tell you that. I was quiet. I was so quiet. I didn't get into any trouble. I was quiet. I remember being on the radio, becoming a disc jockey. Brother Addis coming to church, and he couldn't believe that was me on the radio. Just a quiet person. But man, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost as a teenager, there was such a boldness that come in me. Such a boldness that come in me. I knew it wasn't my daddy trying to call me to preach. I know it wasn't just me trying to think it up. I wasn't going to do that. I had already taken my entrance exam to another school. I had it all laid out. I wanted to go to Wright State. I wanted a business degree. I was going to the University of Dayton Law School. That's what I wanted. My sister worked there. I had my path all set. It was neat and clean and in a box. Amen. I didn't want a pastor like Dad did. Amen. I knew what he went through. It wasn't in my heart. But I'm going to tell you, friend, when you see your distance when you see your destiny in the distance, and you start looking what you thought you had laid out, that business degree doesn't look important. Money doesn't look important anymore. It starts looking empty. It starts looking like, oh my, no way. I could never be satisfied. Hang on. I got to say goodbye. I got to go do the will of God. I got to go find the power of God. I got to find the Spirit of God. I remember 17 years old. God put a fire in my heart to preach the gospel, but it would have never happened until I turned loose of what I was comfortable with, until I turned loose of what I wanted. Not my will, thy will. I said thy will. But when I got that mantle and when I got the Spirit of the living God, I said it's joy. It's joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Anybody ready to turn loose of what you're comfortable with? Man, they'll think I'm crazy. They'll think that's foolish if I tell them what. Hey, your destiny. Let me talk to you, teachers, faculty, older people. We've got to live further than the ones we're trying to influence. You didn't get that. Stand up, Adam, for a second. Elijah was in the distance. That distance is his destiny. You've got to be further than those you're trying to influence. You're not getting that. You've got to be further along. If you're going to try to give your mantle to the next generation, you better make sure you're full of the Holy Ghost. You better make sure you're walking in the presence of God. You can't be late to church. You can't be slouching around. You've got to know that the mantle of God is on your life, or you don't have anything to give to the next generation. But let me challenge every Elijah in this building. Let me challenge every singer, teacher, we've got something to give. We've got the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. My God, help us and aspire. Help us to pass off the mantle to the next generation. But a lot of times it's this. We're trying to push the next generation. We're trying to push them into their destiny. You can't push them. Got to lead them. You can't give that which you don't have. You ever been needing money? And you tried to find a homeless person? How many's ever asked a homeless person for money? I never even thought about it. Because I am assuming they don't have what I need. I'm assuming my need cannot be met by them. Now, if I see half of you, I know I'm in good shape. I'm on a downhill slide, in the shade, drinking lemonade. You've got to be further. I don't know what's wrong with that next generation. They just ain't got it like we got it. They ain't getting it like we got it. When's the last time you showed them you still had the mantle and you laid it off on that next generation? When's the last time you said, back up, sonny boy, let me show you how to shout. Let me show you how to worship. I'm preaching better than you saying amen, but that's all right, Johnny Jenkins. When's the last time they were on the platform wondering why you look so bored when you come to church? When's the last time they were on the platform and said, wonder why they never worship? Wonder why they never shout? Wonder why they can't clap their hands? Wonder why they can't lift their hands? I know they're thinking because I think it. But why don't we say the next time they get in the choir and they look out, they're saying, God, let me see the next Elijah. Amen. Who's got the fire? Who's got the power? And they see you with your hands lifted, shouting and feeling the power of God. I would to God the power of God would hit this building from the side to side and front to back, and shout every one of us until we mess up our lunch plans by the power of God. Hallelujah. Because one day Elijah's going to be gone. Elijah, you're going to be gone one day, friend. One day me and you are going to be gone. And when they face that Jordan River, they're not going to pray, oh, bring back Brother Mike. Oh, bring back Brother Ryan. What would Brother Ryan do? What would Brother Mike do? They're going to pray one thing. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God, thank you, of Elijah? The way that God moved for Brother Mike. The way that God moved for Brother Wilder. The way God moved for Brother Ryan. God, you've promised you'd meet us in this generation. You'd promise you'd meet us right now. And we are not forsaken. And we're not destitute. And we are not alone. But God, the way you moved yesterday, would you move right now? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And with that prayer, I said with that fervor, Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle. I said he picked up the mantle of God's prophet, and he smote the same waters. My God, he smote the same Jordan. And the way God worked for Elijah is the way God worked for Elisha. I said, we're not serving a dead God. We're not serving a God that's out of business. We're not serving a God, amen, that doesn't have a church. We're the church of the living God. I said, sanctified and Holy Ghost filled. My God, show yourself one more time. Woo! Anybody ready for God's mantle to fall on you? Why don't you stand, lift your hands, and love God and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's love Him right now. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Come on, Sister Robin. Ah, let's love Him. Come on, church. Come on, let's worship Him. Oh, God, if you're an Elijah, oh, praise God. Amen. We're not done yet. I said we're not done yet. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. But you got to be further. Oh, go ahead. You don't have. You can't give that which you don't have. Do you have it to give? Why don't you, if you're an Elijah, I'm not talking about you're a prophet. You know, like the old fella, you don't have to wear a sign that says you're a prophet. Prophesy. We'll know whether you're a prophet or not. Why don't some of you that have the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of the Holy Ghost, you're at least however old or older, and you say, I want to influence this next generation. I want to influence this next generation. Why don't you go to them right now? Why don't you find a couple of young folks right now and lay your hand over on them and tell them, I want to encourage you, young person. I want to encourage you, young person. If you're 40 years or above and you're Holy Ghost filled, I want you to find a young person right now. Lay your hand on them. Tell them God's not dead. 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 I said, tell them God's not dead. Tell them we need them. Tell them we need them. Ah, tell them. Tell them they need the Holy Ghost. I said, tell them they need the power of God. Hallelujah. If you're 30 years or above and you're Holy Ghost filled, find a young person right now. Lay your hand on them. Tell them they can make it. I said, tell them they can make it. Tell them God's not dead. I said, God's not dead. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell them God needs some prophets. Need some prophets. Oh,